I'd like to read three verses in John's Gospel that have been referred to during the course of the conference. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Before we think of the Lord in present glory, I wonder if we could spend a few minutes just thinking of him in present circumstances as the centre of gathering of his own. John 12, verses 1 to 3. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Reference has been made already to this work of Mary in anointing the feet of Jesus. But I want to have a look just briefly at each of these three people who sat at table with the Lord, because there are features in each of them that I believe should be found in each believer. It was Mary who was led to offer that box of spikenard, very precious, and anoint the feet of the Saviour. But each one here has a part to play. Now, we are looking at a family, a household. We're not looking at an assembly, but surely the features that are present in this godly household should be present in our assemblies. It's a little prefiguring of what was still to come. The first one to be mentioned is Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead and he was raised from the dead. And in the previous chapter, we can read the account of Lazarus. He was dead and he was raised again. Now that was not resurrection, but it was the giving of life by the one who had life. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And this is the heart of the gospel, is it not? The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And this is the message of the Gospel of John, that the Lord Jesus Christ is both the resurrection and the life. He was raised again from the dead. He's the firstborn of many brethren. And 1 Corinthians 15, as we know, speaks of him as the firstfruits of the resurrection. And because he rose again, others will be raised also to be with him. Now, this is like a little picture in advance. This is not resurrection. But Lazarus, who was sick, was raised again out of his grave. Martha, ever practical, said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." But the Lord Jesus raised him from the dead, and he loosed him from his grave clothes. A picture, surely, of each one of us who were dead in trespasses and sins, yet now we've been quickened and made to sit together in the heavenly places. That goes beyond what happened to Lazarus, but this is a little picture of it. Lazarus was dead. He was in the grave. He was raised again. And now in the beginning of chapter 12, we see him sitting at table with the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful picture that is. Mm-hmm. We don't read that Lazarus ever spoke a word. He didn't need to. He himself is a picture of one who has been dead and who has been quickened, and can sit at table with the Lord in perfect communion, perfect composure there with the Lord Jesus. The next one is Martha. Martha, a very interesting character. If you go to this, these people, of course, as we well know, I'm sure, they appear three times in the Gospels, once in Luke, two times in John, one in chapter 11 and one in chapter 12. The first time we meet them is in Luke chapter 10, where it says in verse 38, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's the first meeting we have with Martha. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. We might think that that was not very remarkable, but it marks a milestone in the Gospel of Luke. If in John's Gospel the Lord Jesus is rejected from the beginning, in Luke's Gospel he is not wanted. In chapter 1 we have him described as that holy thing which shall be born of Mary, shall be called the Son of God. And yet in chapter 2 we read that there was no room for him in the inn, no place for him in this world. No room for him in the inn. In chapter 7, we read of a Pharisee who, yes, he did invite him to his house. But if you read that story, you might well wonder why he did so. He invited him for a meal, but he did not afford him the common courtesies. He didn't give him water to wash his feet. He didn't greet him with a kiss. He didn't anoint his head with oil. And when the woman came and anointed his feet with ointment, not Mary, another woman, a sinner, anointed his feet with oil and with her own tears and wiped his feet with the hair of her head, the Pharisee could only say, this man cannot be a prophet, or he would know what kind of woman this is. He did not even accord to the Lord Jesus the position of prophet, much less that of the Messiah or the Christ or the Son of God. He would not give him his place. In chapter 9, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In chapter 10, before this verse, the Lord Jesus speaks to his own and assures them that their names are written in heaven. And that gives colour to the parable which follows, that well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. The heavenly stranger. What was he doing there? That Samaritan in Judea going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was out of his place. And the Lord Jesus was in one sense out of his place in this world. Read Psalm 102 and you'll see it drawn there so clearly. The heavenly stranger. And he came to the man who fell among thieves, for whom the law could do nothing. The priest and the Levite could only pass by. And he bound him up and poured in oil and wine. You know the story well. I don't need to tell it to you, do I? But you see the point. He had no house to take him to. He took him to an inn. And we often say, of course, that this is what a provision, if you like, for one who the Lord has saved. In this day, we would say, he goes to the assembly, where there are those of like mind who can look after him. Well, the Good Samaritan took him to the inn, left him there, and made provision for his keep until I come again. Now this is the heavenly stranger. And then in verse 38, a certain woman named Martha received him into his house. There was a place for him. There was a place for him. And each of these three accorded him that place. It was their delight to welcome him into that house. Yes, I know that Martha, there was a bit of adjustment needed, but Martha had a heart for the Lord, you see. She wanted to do her best for him. She had needed adjustment, but by the time we get to John chapter 12, that adjustment had taken place. And it is said that Martha served. You know, we need Marthas, we really do. Whether they're sisters or whether they're brothers. Those who are prepared to love the Lord and to work for him. Marthas. The other one, of course, is Mary. Now, Mary in Luke 10 shows the good part. We've referred to this already in the course of this conference. And that good part would not be taken away from her. It would not. The study of God's word, or in the story, listening to the words of the Lord Jesus. And that would not be taken away from her. And you know, for each of us, it's true. We have God's word in our hand. We don't hear the Lord Jesus speaking, but we can read his words in the scriptures. We can hold them in our hands, and that part cannot be taken away from us. What we have learned of the Lord Jesus cannot be taken away, nor can the place to learn more of him. I know that in the pressures of life come in, particularly when we're earning our livings, those of us who have ceased to do that, of course, have no real excuse. We have all the time to study the Word of God and to profit by it. But those who are out there in the burden and heat of the day, they sometimes find it difficult to find time to sit at the Lord's feet and to hear his word. But how needful it is. How needful it is. You'll find the day doesn't go well if you don't begin with it. To pray, to read the word of God, and to meditate upon it. Yes, younger people, those of you too who are working, whatever you're doing, even if you're doing the Lord's work, it's still necessary to set time aside every day to have that good part where we listen to the word of the Lord. And the result is that when we come to John chapter 12, each one is found there in their right place, able to take that right part that the Lord would have them to take. I said this is a family, and so it is, but you see, doesn't the same apply to the coming together of the Lord's people? Lazarus sitting there at table with the Lord. What a privilege to share communion with the Lord Jesus. Martha serving. What a privilege to serve that which is suitable for the Lord. And Mary. Now Mary takes this pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. What are we to gather from this? There are two references in the Song of Solomon which help, but the second helps more than the first. The first is chapter 12, verse 12, chapter 1, which says, when the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the odor thereof. Biblical scholars and people who know about plants will tell you that that's a different spikenard from the one that's referred to here. But there is a general sense in which there is something offered to the Lord Jesus. But I don't think this is something offered to the Lord Jesus. I think it's verse 3 of that chapter. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. This is the sweet odor. This is something which the Father can appreciate. The precious name of his beloved Son. That is the sweet odor. If we come together, it is normal, of course, for us to take part audibly. I really believe that if we came together around the Lord, gathered to his name, and each one there had thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the sweet odor that he is to the Father, if there was no audible sound, I believe it would please the Father. Whether we think of the Lord Jesus as the burnt offering, that which was offered to God, whether we think of him as the meal offering, that perfect life that he lived here below, life as man, the meal offering, fine flour mingled with oil poured upon it. What a picture of the Lord Jesus. Fine flour mixed with oil and oil poured upon it, anointed with the Holy Spirit. Or whether we think of him as the prosperity offering, that which we can enjoy together with God. There is the sweet odor, and we see in this picture how the odor filled the house. And if we can get a glimpse of the person of the Lord Jesus and of his perfections, I feel sure the odor of that will fill the house. We shall know it in our meetings if we can come together in that. Yes, we gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. And when we think of what that name means, surely the perfection of that name, the perfection of that person to whom the name refers, the odor of the ointment can fill the house. It can do it through the bringing before us of the person of Christ by the Holy Spirit, even in the days in which we live. There were only three people here, only three on this occasion, but the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Amen.